Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Hope you're all having a great afternoon out there. Happy Wednesday afternoon on this September 4th. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by our good friend, high school correspondent, Michael Comer. Michael, good to have you with us.
It's good to be here again.
Do you like Mike or Michael? Do you have a preference, man? Because I know it's going by James. I don't respond to Jim. That's my dad usually. But
right. You know, most people call me Mike anymore. About 90% of the time, it's my last name, Comer. Hey, Comer, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Comer, get out of here. You know, stuff
right,
like that.
Yeah.
And then there's more colorful names people use, too.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay with that, too, as long as they're in the proper context.
We might have some of the crossover there. We might be called the same thing in some of those terms.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter, though, honestly.
We got high school football to talk with Michael in just a little bit. I want to get into that. I want to talk a little bit about, of course, the kickoff the NFL season. We got Brewers to talk about as well. And what do you want to talk about? Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. Looking forward to talking with every one of you. Got some stats of the show we'll get into a little bit later. I think are kind of fun college football related. We will talk some Badgers as well, as we've got a big Badger game going on this Saturday. They're all big games. There are no small games in the college footballs or football in general. But we kick things off the way we like to around here, taking a phone call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
They can call me whatever you want, just not late for supper.
Right. It's a classic and it works every time. How you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, I don't know if Michael got a chance to watch the Badger game at all on Friday. I know that he was probably calling some high school games, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he had a chance to watch it either, James, but I don't know if we're doing a wash, rinse, and repeat here with Badger football with Pickle or not, because it just
looked
like they were...
Yeah, man. I watched every second of that game, and I saw the first game of a new collegiate season with a second-year coach, and probably the first time having more of his players that are about 70 to 80% his players, from what I'm seeing online at least. I don't know that for certain, but 70 to 80% of his players, so more players than he had last year that he recruited, that he brought in specifically for his offense, his defense, all of the above. He's in the second year of this. And very seldom do you see a coach walk into a situation and flip it around overnight. The only people that have hyped this team up is media. I haven't heard Luke Fickell going around talking about winning the Big Ten championship or showing up in the college football playoff. I hear him giving you typical college football talk. We're going to go out there, win every game, et cetera, et cetera. It's the media that has built him up. And now, granted, they've got reason to. Luke Fickell was, as far as free agent coaches go, the biggest name in college football. And he signed in your school. And that is pretty exciting. And there's going to be hype that goes along with that. And understandably so, given what he had with Cincinnati and everything. But again, he didn't do that at Cincinnati overnight. That took time. And in college football, even with NIL and the transfer portal and all of that, this is not an overnight thing. What I saw in that team was a team trying to figure its identity out, trying to figure out each other, trying to build some chemistry, and doing it all in real time. I saw a preseason football game. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, they're going to be playing Alabama in a couple weeks, and then we're going to see how they rank against an Alabama team that has a new coach and is trying to bring in new players and certainly has the pedigree of Alabama. But I'm hearing so much like doomsay about the Badgers and everything. This man is trying to change a culture that has been around for decades and trying to modernize it, trying to get into today. I love Badger football, old school Badger football. Ron Dane might be my favorite college football player, up there in the top five. I loved watching those teams. I can name you every Wisconsin running back for the last 30 years. That's how much I love that team, and I love watching the running game. But it's an old school way of football. It ain't going to win you anything. Even Michigan winning a national championship had to throw the ball down the field. This is something Wisconsin has to turn into and grow into. I am a little worried when I see that the offensive line for both these schools look the same and there is a gigantic difference of conference between these teams. I see I'm not saying that I don't understand some of the concern here, but I wouldn't go pointing the finger at Coach Fickell or this organization, and it is an organization. McIntosh has done a heck of a job there, And I mean, I feel like they've built enough goodwill to be like, okay, well, let's see what happens. This is a school that has done well for many, many years. Let's not turn Wisconsin into Nebraska. Let's not turn this into one of these things where we're entitled to anything, or we, you know, have certain ideas and expectations that will never be met. Because the Cornhusker fans are still talking like it's the 80s, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree what you're saying, James, but it just, you know, I guess as a fan, I would feel better if you would not come out and said they had a good game plan.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you guys got out-coached.
Yeah, that you're right about that. Yeah, definitely.
You know, don't come in and say they had a good game plan. Well, where was your game plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, that offensive line did not give, I mean, you got to give the guy more than 2 seconds before he runs for a life if you want to be considered an air raid team.
Were you encouraged by how things wrapped up in the fourth quarter? I thought that we saw more of what the offense is going to be going forward with that fourth quarter, and when they started to gel a little bit. You also had a tired defense. I mean, they're certainly that noteworthy, but I did see, regardless of that, you can't do anything about that. The offense was tired, too. They were playing, too. And I felt like they were really clicking that fourth quarter.
I mean, that first drive, that 16-play drive that he missed the field goal, I mean, you missed that. Then they come back again with another 16-play drive, and they score a touchdown. You know, back in the day, you know, like you said, old-school Badger football. With 32 plays in two possessions, you should have had that team wiped out, that defense.
Agreed.
Because if you would have the big nasties up front, like they used to have the big, you know, the big old farm boys, you know, and all the big, big beefy guys in the front line, if you did 32 plays in two possessions, like the other team was done. They wouldn't have been able to stop the run. You know, then it would open up, you know, there he goes. And you can open up that air raid. I guess it's frustrating because, you know, the media kind of built it up. But Fickell kind of was saying that our offensive line is experienced this year. They're gelling in preseason. This weekend, I'm hoping it's not a trap game because Alabama's coming knocking, and then you got to go up against USC, and USC looked good and fast. So, I don't know.
We're going to see. If they come out of this game against South Dakota with a nice score, they come out of this with a nice game, do you feel more confident about the season going forward?
I would if you know, things look better. I mean, obviously, I mean, Wisconsin, I mean, even the Packers are the same way. They don't go out and step on their throat. Once they get a good lead, you know, then they get a little bit more conservative of their offense. They don't go out there and try to score 100 points, you know.
Yeah.
That hasn't been Wisconsin football ever. But, I mean,
I will say this, like, too. Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, I would just like to see them, you know, be more efficient, be more, you know, on
more confidence.
Taste of what they're supposed to be. More confident, right.
You know, Cam,
there's no confidence there at all.
So. Cam Ward in Miami is just figuring things out and getting to know half these guys' names, and he looked like a pro. He looked so comfortable, maybe too comfortable in some ways with how fumbly he can be with that ball sometimes, but he looked good back there and comfortable. It didn't look like he even knew he was playing in Gainesville. Like, and that fan base, at least in the first quarter, was ravaging at him.
Didn't matter
one bit. I will, just real quick, Michael, before I go to you, I did want to send a shout out to Lance Taylor, the coach of Western Michigan, because one thing I think that's not being talked about there too is Western Michigan improved, and not hard to do when you're the lowest team ranked in the FBS, but they got some nice players over there, and they came out with a lot of heart. That coach is a nice coach. I'm looking forward to seeing that team, what happens with him as a coaching career and everything. I believe this is his first gig. It should be interesting. It should be fun to see. Did you have something, Michael?
Yeah, there are a couple things. With that turnaround with Western Michigan there.
Yeah.
Or Central Michigan, whoever the heck they play. It was some Michigan team.
They're in Michigan. I'm pretty sure the name of the university is Word Michigan somewhere.
Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah, I've said that before, too.
It's near Flint.
Well, either way, you can maybe see how much he has already started to turn that team around, being an optimist, by how tough they played Wisconsin.
Yeah.
When it should have been just a one-sided adventure, not even close. Another thing is, I'll quote the late Al Davis. Just win, baby. Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore whether you blow them out by half a hundred. You know, as what my buddy Barry Switzer always said, hang half a hundred by halftime.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you do that anymore. You win on a last-second field goal. You won. And in this day and age of the playoffs, it doesn't matter if it's pretty or not. It doesn't matter if it's a blowout or a close game. You just need to win. And at the end of the day, to answer Kevin's question, I didn't see the first half. I got to my location to write after that heck of a Nakusa football game that we'll talk about in a little bit. I got to my location to write right when the halftime was ending and the third quarter was starting. And I saw the score, and I said, well, that's not what I expected. Yeah. And then I saw Wisconsin just pull away and just out-physical them. But there's something to be said about that offensive line. No, it's not the overwhelming big nasties up there. I think the last one that I really think was nasty was Biadasz. He was about the last real big nasty lineman I remember. And just and he's a heck of a guy. I've actually met him out and had a couple beers with him since he's been in the NFL. And that was pretty cool because I wrote out about him when he was in high school, and I thanked him for the letting me be part of his experience. He's like, hey, thanks for getting me to this point too. So I mean, it was pretty cool and nice guy, and I hope he does well with the Reds. I mean, Commie or whatever they are called. But the aggressive, big, nasty, just hogs on the offensive line, 6 foot. 350 pounds that can move and still outrun me in a 40. I don't think they're around anymore. And part of it's a mindset. Football coaches always say, if I could get all wrestlers in that line, I would probably be just running through people. And they need to do something to toughen up. I mean, I'm not calling them weak, but you got to set that mental state first. That you're not going to get beat.
I wish I could find the quote. It was somewhere around the end of Alvarez's run as, I keep wanting to say GM, but athletic director.
Yeah, GM. GM
it
works.
It really is GM, but athletic director. And he talked about, because they were asking, it was something, some concerns about Wisconsin's line that year, and him talking about those farm boys that we used to get, they're still there, but if they're not playing in Florida or in California or in Texas, they're going to play the defensive line. Some of them are staying in Wisconsin, but they're going where the money is, and they're going the D-line. I think to your point, as there's not as many of those kids as there used to be. And I think there's a lot, too, about coaching and the way that that offensive line coach and Alvarez were with offensive linemen. They could take a two-star guy and get him drafted in the second round of the NFL. There is something to be said for coaching, especially in football. You can coach up. You get the right mindset of a kid. Talent almost like doesn't matter in some ways.
Ryan Ramczyk right there. Started at UWSP, was a nobody at Spash, and he then big nasty for the Badgers, and now I think he's still with the Saints.
He's with the Saints. Kev, always appreciate you. Anything else on your mind before we let you go?
Well, just hopefully that we can win the night against those Cardinals and be ready to keep making the move. We're only 13 is the magic number, so
yes.
I guess that's good, but there was one thing that was brought up, and I'll hang up, was that the way the Cubs are playing right now, wouldn't it be odd that as much as the Brewers beat up on the Cubs this season, would now have to face possibly the Cubs in the playoffs in the wild card? I mean,
it's a sports dream.
I would be scared for the Brewers if they had to play the Cubs right now.
I don't blame you. Especially with a one-off, you never know. It's baseball. Anything can happen. You can only get one game to do it. But I appreciate the time, Kev. Take care. Have a great night. Appreciate all your calls. 715-424-2600. We'll talk a little Brewers in a little bit here. I do find that as an interesting scenario, though.
I wanted to touch on that a little. Well, we can do that later, actually, when we talk Brewers. So.
And we will. We're going to get to some Brewer talk in a little bit because there's a couple of players I want to make sure that we highlight and everything. But we ain't going to forget that point, Kevin. That was a good one. Michael, before we go to our first timeout, I do want to talk a little high school football with you. Of course, coming up this Friday, 6:50, our pregame kicks off as Assumption is hosting Pacelli. Randy, Mike, Seth going to be calling that one, running that game for us. We appreciate that so much. Michael, last week you were hanging out in Nakusa, watching that game. Good game.
Yeah, I mean, first Randy and I were at that Pepinalma Assumption game, and unfortunately, just when you're playing against the number 9 team in the state with about 50 kids out, and you have 20 kids on your roster.
It's insane.
You just get worn out. And that's not a knock-on assumption whatsoever. What do you expect to do?
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah. I'm proud of them going out there.
Oh, yeah?
I'm proud of them. 20 kids going out there? I'm proud of that.
The Royals and Coach Sullivan, they're, excuse the language, they ain't backing down from nobody.
Yeah.
And they're going to give it, you're going to know you play the Assumption Royals, win, lose, or draw. Now, then, when Randy and I got done, thankfully that game got to a, thankfully, unthankfully, if you would put it that way, the game got put to runtime, and I was able to get to Nakusa for that Westfield game. And I was kind of keeping an eye on it on the old cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left Southwick County, Westfield was up 14-6. So I'm like, we'll see how this goes, because they scored early in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Well, got there, and I literally got in the stadium, stood up on the sidelines on the Westfield side, because I didn't have time to get to Nakusa side yet. And that's last play of the third quarter. Nash Kretschmar hits his little brother Finn for a 38-yard touchdown, and they go for two and get it and tie it right at the end of the third quarter. That was right as time was expiring. All right. Go through the whole third quarter or fourth quarter. Time's running down. Neither team can really get any motion, get anywhere with it. Nakusa punts the ball. Nice punt.
Yeah.
Pushes him back. Well, then the next thing is, there's the illegal procedure penalty, so they have to re-kick it. They re-kick it, and it was blocked and recovered at the 22-yard line by Westfield. So they go in there, and they pass a couple times. If it's incomplete, stops the clock. They still get time. They got to the 7-yard line, and I forget which down it was, 12 seconds left. Coach John Russell, defensive coach, he called timeout, and they talked about it. Snap of the ball on that play, both edge rushers just full out blitz, all or nothing, and they both reached home, wounded duck floater, and that's hauled in by Nash Kretschmar, and he rolls 98 yards for the touchdown as time expires to beat Westfield 20-14. So that's two scores that Nash had hand in as time expired in the third quarter and in the game to win the game. So Nakusa sitting at 2-0 this week. They got an 0-2 Mauston. They start conference play. Personally, I think Westfield might be better than Mauston, and that'd be really cool to see Nakusa go 3-0. But at the same time, is this going to be a letdown game after the emotions from last week? Do they turn over the ball? Do they have too many penalties? Who knows? It's a high school football game.
Yeah.
But that was I tried it several times to make sure I was right, and most of the time I got to the same number. 17 years of being around sports, high school sports, writing or doing some radio with you guys, that I've never seen a game end that way.
Wow.
And I may never see another one end that way. That was unbelievable.
I was at the last Brewer game I was at. It was I was there with a bunch with my buddy and his my godson. We're watching, and it's a normal game. You know, it's coming down to the wire, ninth inning and everything. And Yelich goes up there, and I believe it was Yelich, lays down a bunt, and the guy scores. And we saw a game end on a walk-off bunt. And
rare.
We looked at each other. We're like, we'll never see this again. You're not going to see that again. Like, when you get to see those things, even on the TV, it's really something. But to be there in the stadium and see it is something that you feel. It's part of what we love about this sport so much. Always the big game of the weekend is the one that you and Randy are covering and Seth is producing. But outside of the Assumption Pacelli game, I have to admit, and I think you get this a little bit too, as a Raider alum, the DC Everest Raider game coming up this Friday is a big one.
Yeah, it is. And Everest comes in 1-1. They got crushed by Rice Lake 44-17. Yeah. Then they come back and beat River Falls 51-26.
I can't figure them out.
And they won on the road, too. Mm-hmm. Rapids, they host River Falls. They get beat 44-21, and then they get crushed by Rice Lake 44-0 in a weather shortened game.
Stop scheduling Rice Lake.
It's a random draw. It truly was. Between the and the way they did that was to ease the non conference scheduling, the Big Rivers and the Wisconsin Valley Conference, they randomly drew that, and Rapids just happened to get the two big boys this year, and I believe that's the same schedule for next year as well. But Rice Lake comes here, and Rapids goes over to River Falls. you can use a transitive property all you want, Team A, Team B, Team C, and at this point, I guess Everest, you would say, well, Everest should beat Rapids, but Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. last year, Everest was supposed to destroy Rapids, and they needed a touchdown with less than 10 seconds to go in the game, right in the corner of the end zone, toe tap to make it count, to beat Rapids 21-14. So, throw records out. These two teams, they play hard against each other, and with the teams that Rapids has played, the same ones that Everest has played, you'd think that something's going to be coming to a head with them, and they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. There's and as you mentioned, the Nakusa game is an interesting one as well. It's a nice high school lineup, or a nice lineup of high school football this weekend. And again, it starts off for us on Friday at 6:50, right on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, Assumption High School Football, hosting Bocelli right here in Rapids. Randy, Mike, Seth are going to tag team that one, and you know it's going to be a good one right there. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun game. I want to get into a couple of other things with you, Michael. We've got some fun stuff to cover yet today, because not only are we going to talk Brewers a little bit later, but I want to talk a little bit of NFL, because we are just days away from the start of the NFL season. And one of the questions, you know, everybody can talk about who's going to win, who's going to lose, some of those things. We'll get into some of that. We'll talk about whatever you guys really want to talk about. But I want to know who's calling the games. I got an announcer here with me. I want to go over that with the audience. Let's get into who's going to be calling these games on these networks. And by the way, there are now 19,000 networks. So we got a long list. I know, it's going to be a long list, man. It's going to be a long list. But we'll get through it. We'll come back with more fun on the morning. I almost said the morning show. I was on Playmakers here at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got it right that time. Michael and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Going to talk some NFL in a moment. We'll talk some Brewers before we wrap up today. Let you know who's going to be calling these NFL games as the season kicks off. But we have our stat of the show want to get to. Our stat of the show, proudly brought to you by Acme. No, we don't have a sponsor yet for it, but we'll get one maybe. We do have Quality Plus Printing, of course, sponsoring this hour. Gigantic thank you to them. Phil joined us this morning on the show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Great time. We appreciate our friends, Phil and the gang over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Go visit them over at A Street. So our stat of the show today is 1911, Michael, 1911.
A year before the Titanic sank.
Yes, nicely done. And we go to Missouri football, where the tradition of homecoming is widely spread in U.S. college sports and high school. We all know what homecoming game is. Returning to home, school, and familiar places is always thrilling. It's a great experience. And the College of Missouri takes credit for the creation of this tradition. Homecoming began in 1911 when athletic coach Jester Brewer invented alumni to come home for a big game against the team of Kansas. And other people saw him doing this, were like, oh, that's a really good idea. We want to do that. He doesn't have a copyright in the term homecoming. And everybody started doing it. And it just kind of spread from there. And so that's where homecoming comes from. It's pretty cool. I think that's pretty interesting, man. I did not know that before the other day. I looked it up this weekend. I also love the name Jester Brewer. We're not making a lot of jesters anymore.
No.
This is a tough name to have, man. That's a tough name.
Jester Brewer. Well, you could... never mind. I'll leave that joke for later. But now here's my question with that. Homecoming, after you've been away for a little bit, you come home and say, okay, if you're homeschooled, isn't any time you come back home a homecoming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great point. That's a great question. Philosophers have been wondering this for decades. The answer to that one, it's a great question.
Decades. What kind of time-space continuum are you running?
Time is a flat circle. Time is a complete flat circle. Michael, I want to get into a little bit of NFL with you, and I want to talk some Brewers yet.
Have at it, man.
Let's go ahead. Since Kev set us up earlier with Brewer Talk, let's go ahead and dive into the Brewers a little bit here. I thought it was an interesting point about the idea of the Cubs and Brewers possibly playing in the first round. That's interesting. Not as interesting, to me at least, as what Willy Adames is doing right now. He had a home run streak of five games, tying a Brewer record. What he has been able to accomplish this season in a contract year has been really noteworthy, and it's been a fun season. And that being said, and I'm a fan of Willy Adames's, I think what Jackson Churio has done this season is even more impressive. And it's in part because of his struggles. It's in part because of him struggling, and a lot of times, which we've seen this year, I can think off the top of my head four examples of high, you know, touted rookies coming into MLB and just not having a good run and getting sent back down to the minors.
The one from Baltimore.
Pops right in my mind.
But,
yeah.
But he came back, though.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what they would have expected with Jackson, to come back, of course. But instead, Pat Murphy decided, because they asked Pat, and he decided, no, we're keeping him up. Let him work through this. Well, let him work through this. Yeah. We need bodies anyway. Let's let him work through it. And man, did that pay off. Because this young man is showing you what he is capable of right now and is just playing his tail off. It's been really fun to see this team get hot offensively at the end of the season when that's not traditionally what happens with them. And it's just kind of a... What I enjoy about this team is the playing with house money aspect. And the idea that there is, even though this is a team that's won the division in, you know, multiple times over the last couple of years, you can make an argument that they should be in this spot, that this should not be a surprise or anything. A whole new coaching regime in some ways, no necessarily star players. Certain things just lead me to always hear Pat Murphy talk about this team like, man, we're happy to be here. We just love baseball. We love playing. And certainly trying to win every single game. And a bunch of bulldogs out there when it comes to that. But not necessarily a team that's expected to win it all. And they're playing like they got nothing to lose. And right now, the bats are flying like they don't.
Well, there's a few things with that. You know, they're happy to be there. Well, you got to be more than just happy to be there. And that's the thing is, I've got a lot of friends who are already crowning them, and I laugh because I've seen too much baseball to see Brewers do what Brewers do. I mean, they're kind of like the Bears. You know, back in 1982, when you're crowning I've said before, when you're crowning yours, still losing. There's nothing to be excited about.
Yeah.
I'll say this much, though. With as much smack talk as Brewers fans have had this year about Craig Counsell sneaks in there. They play each other first round, and Craig beats Milwaukee on their home turf.
It's a long offseason.
That's next time, maybe, I'll say it, listen to me about them a little bit more and just realize they're the Brewers.
All right.
But we'll get back to that point, though. That would be one heck of a game. I believe it's just one game. I have to double check because they've changed it bracketing so much on how many games that it is. But that would be one that I'd even sit and watch. And obviously, I'm not pulling for either one of them. I'm kind of hoping whichever city it's in slides into Lake Michigan. But either way, that would be must see TV for sports. Now, if there's a football game on, I'll put that on the back burner. Yeah. I'd rather watch football. But then that's no matter who's playing for that matter. But man, that thinking about that would be one heck of a matchup.
It'd be a fun series. I really think that whatever happens, whoever they're playing, it should be fun because I think the Brewers are playing a fun brand of baseball. And I admit that I'm a fan of small ball. I don't need home runs.
Oh, yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Me too.
I like stolen bases. I like a lot of that, and I feel like they're playing with a lot of deep. I don't know that any team can be crowned right now, especially. But even once you give me the all these teams and their playoff, their matchups and everything, there's nobody I feel confident putting $5 on, man. I wouldn't put $5 on Philly or the Dodgers or San Diego or any of these teams. I don't feel that confident. So to me, you're going into this, and what do I excel at better than any other team? I've got better defense than anybody. Now, does defense put points on the scoreboard? No, but it
definitely
wins championships.
Definitely takes runs off the board.
Yeah, yeah. Brewers have called up an interesting outfielder, Brewer Hicklin. From AAA Nashville before the game against Cincinnati the other night. I thought that was noteworthy to have a Brewer on the Brewers. That was pretty good. And he played all right. He looks all right. Looks like a pretty good player right there. Milwaukee, of course, as Kevin noted earlier, having St. Louis play in town tonight should be a good matchup, as these games always are. It doesn't matter. Another one of those games where they love to say, you throw out the record books, it doesn't matter. Should be interesting. You got anything else on the Brewers, man? Or anything else on baseball if you wanted to touch on?
It's just going to be, not even a month of the season. This is the last time St. Louis and Milwaukee play this year, more than likely. Mm-hmm. If as hot as Milwaukee started against them back in the spring, they're playing pretty even now. That maybe shows Milwaukee's maybe slowing down a little bit towards the end, or St. Louis has gotten better. I don't know which one it is. We'll obviously find out in another week or so, 2 weeks. Yeah. But Yeah, it's the end of baseball season, and we're here with what I call America's sport now.
Yeah,
football.
Yeah, football. It really is. It really is ours. And to the point where nobody else cares.
Nobody. That's right.
They're trying so hard, man. They got these players. It is insane what they are putting the Philly and Green Bay players through to just get this game in Brazil and just hopefully get a 1.5 share out of the country of Brazil and everything. It's nuts.
So preoccupied with whether they can play there or not, they didn't stop to think they should. All the junk that they're putting everyone through. It's not worth it. I mean, there's a reason why they stopped playing games in Mexico for a while, or I think they still have. I'd have to double check and look at the schedule, but I understand it's the almighty dollar. I get it. I truly get it. But think of is money really everything? I mean, to me and you, I don't think either one of us would say money's everything. But obviously, to the NFL, they feel a little different about it. But play that game in Philly. I mean. Well, Philly's just as dangerous as São Paulo. I mean,
you know, as somebody growing up in the 80s when football was not the America's sport and right. It wasn't the number one game in town, and it was like a band that you liked that some people knew about, but they weren't that big, and you felt like it was your sport and your thing.
Like Striper.
Nice.
Nothing against those Striper fans out there. They got some good tunes, but that's, you know, Striper.
Not everybody knew.
Rat, Kiss, yeah. Van Halen. Bands, okay, Striper.
You know, yeah. So when it comes to where the NFL is now, I'm happy to see it. I love it, and I'm really enjoying what the NFL is right now. But if there is a way to kill the golden goose, this is it.
Yep.
By not only putting your players through these things, but just rubbing it in the fans' faces, we don't care. You say what you want. Complain about this all you want. You don't like where it's streaming? Too bad. You don't like that we're playing in Brazil? Too bad. That is a shelf life.
That we show Taylor Swift every 2 seconds? Too bad.
They don't care. Like, it's gonna, like, the chickens come home to roost no matter what we're talking about in life, even with the NFL. And that kind of stuff is gonna catch up to them if they keep it up. And doesn't look like they're stopping anytime soon. I'm waiting for a game on the moon. I believe that will happen. Don't know when.
One thing that the Packers, and it's not necessarily even the Packers this year, that's not their, well, it is, but it isn't. This is scheduling. With what with the two ticket packages that they have, and this is one thing, a complaint that I have, and this can be a conversation topic in another couple weeks, and I'll give you time to research it. The green and gold package that the Packer fans have for tickets. It's the old nine from the 30s to 1934 to 1994, they play three games a year at Old County Stadium in Milwaukee. Well, that was the gold package. They get one preseason, two regular season. And whichever preseason, whatever, because that was back when they had four. Well, then they had the second and fifth games traditionally that were played in Milwaukee. Okay, cool. Well, now that they got all these extra games now, this year, for an example, I had the preseason because I'm a green package ticket holder. I had the preseason, and I have my 1, 3, 5, or 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. Okay, well, you know what games I don't have because they're gold package? Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago.
Huh.
So the Milwaukee ticket holders, who are notorious for selling the tickets to visiting fans. They're notorious for it. Okay, so you mean to tell me, and they are their property. Those tickets are their property. You can sell it for whatever you want. That's the beauty of capitalism. But you're more willing to sell it to someone wearing purple or Honolulu blue or ugly blue and orange than someone else wearing green and yellow?
Those are Wisconsinites doing it. I mean, whether from Milwaukee or wherever they're from, they're doing it. It's nothing new. I will say there is no stadium in the world that can handle an opposing fan base better than Lambeau.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
there's
no fan base. I don't care if you're bringing in a soccer team from Europe.
Oh, I was there
when
they did
that. Fans are that is going to outsell or outrank the Green Bay, the green and yellow out there, or any of that. It's going to represent. It's going to make sure that the home field advantage is felt. It is interesting what you're bringing up. It is interesting what you're talking about there, not only with ticket sales and tickets in general, and not just Green Bay, but around the NFL. But this is one of the ways that that golden goose starts taking hits. It is not being able to fill a stadium, because right now that's the beauty that the NFL has, because people can make fun of Chicago all they want. They can make fun of Detroit all they want. All these other teams, guess what their stadiums still continue to do, even in bad teams?
Nearly sell out.
Yep. Say whatever you want about those fan bases. They are loyal, and they continue to fill that stadium. Yep. Do half of them do it just so that they can bark at the team? Yeah. That's a Midwesterner for you, and that's my people, and I am going to stand by them. But they sell out those stadiums, and as long as that's happening, the NFL gets to sit back and say, guess what? You same people that are giving us those hard-earned dollars that you barely can afford to spend, we don't care about you. The NFL has not done one thing to show that they care about fans. Nothing.
Well,
call up 715-424-2600 if you can debate me on that one, because I would love to be wrong about it. I really would. I love the NFL. I would like to be wrong about this. I don't think I am.
They do it with a guise of safety, like not letting fans in for the Rona year.
That was for
Satan. No, it wasn't. In hindsight, that was... That whole non-stadium thing.
It's a legal
issue. That whole stadium thing was not having stadium seats or whatever it was, that was a farce. But anyways, I was there for those two playoff games that Green Bay finally did let people in. And that was a blast.
I bet that was awesome.
Those were cool, those two playoff games.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but I will go to a game at Lambeau one day, and I cannot wait. I don't care who they're playing. I just want to go to a game there. I just want to experience it. I've been outside of Lambeau 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Green Bay a bunch. Wonderful city. There's no city in America like Green Bay. But I do think that being in the stadium is a whole different experience.
It is. And I would tell you there, after being there 1.5 million times, if you get the chance, maybe not on game day, make it a weekend, do a stadium tour. I actually haven't done that yet. I've wanted to, but never had the opportunity.
That's a good idea.
You go through the Hall of Fame. When you get towards the end, when they start showing the bronze footballs of everyone who's in the Packer Hall of Fame, then you have the football player lockers of I think that's of the retired numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a big thing about who's in the NFL Hall of Fame as well. That's almost 30 of them. And then at the very end of it, they have the Halas trophies and the Lombardi trophies.
Yeah.
And when you walk through that and you see the names of Jimmy Taylor, Paul Hornung, Curly Lambeau, Blood McNally, Ray Nitschke, Reggie White. When you see those names, you feel those ghosts. You get a chill. It's powerful.
It's not even close to the same thing, but walking through the hallways at Second City and knowing the people that went through those hallways and the Belushis and the Farleys and some of these people and everything. I mean, even in comedy, you can't help but be inspired. I cannot imagine what it does in sports, just as a fan or anybody else. Michael and I are going to get into who is calling these games for us in a moment. Just a couple of notes on the Packers, for though we're catching anybody up who have not heard. The Packers have signed Chris Brooks, running back off of the Miami practice squad. Brooks has had some decent ups and some highlights to his career. You're just a body. Let's be honest. You need bodies back there right now at running back, which is not an issue that I think anybody thought back in June with this team. So that's a tough spot to be in as if you're Matt LaFleur. And signing Braden Narvesen, the kicker, has got ties to Wisconsin, actually. He already had family here.
Good for him.
Saves on some money there, a little bit on ticket sales.
He's not even at Menards.
The move represents a homecoming for his wife, Shelby. Shelby is from Prescott. So that's pretty cool. Right there near the border, I believe, of Minnesota. So that's a pretty cool tie-in right there. And it'll be even cooler if he's good. That's what matters.
Yes.
That's the only thing that matters to Packer fans. I know how much Wisconsinites, we love rooting for Wisconsinites and seeing connections, and that's cool. They don't care. Just give me a good kicker right now, because kicking and running back, having those two as sore spots, we'll say, not weaknesses, but sore spots, is not something you want. But if you're going to have it, let's figure it out early on in the season. Let's get it straightened out. And it's a long season.
Yes, it is.
I know how quickly the NFL season goes by. This is the first time in my life that I'm going into the NFL season without my main guy, my partner in crime when it comes to football, my papa. Him and I, anytime the Bear, back in the day when you didn't have the bottom line, mm-hmm. we didn't have the internet and all this, when news would break, I called my papa and I was his Adam Schefter.
Yep.
I was the guy that got him when the draft happened. I'm telling him about the picks as they're going on. He loved this stuff. He loved this game, especially baseball was his first love.
Yep.
And he walked away from baseball. He thought it was too money driven, he went to the NFL. That was something we joke about. But
in hindsight, yes.
Yeah, but he threw all of his love and all of his sportsdom into football, and man, he loved this game. And it, as much as a Bear fan as he was, he raised me to be a fan of the game, especially because our team wasn't very good all the time. So it was much easier to like other teams and watch other players and stuff. But I miss this, and I'm excited about and not only a new NFL season, but some of the different things that are going to be happening with it. I want to get into the announcers when we come back. Michael and James taking through an afternoon of Playmakers here at WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. We are proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go visit them on A Street right now. Well, when they open their doors. I don't think they're open right now. But go ahead over there. We appreciate Phil and the gang over there. Thank you much to them. Appreciate you, Michael. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us this afternoon. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Phone lines are still open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. The NFL season begins tomorrow. I almost got said today. Time is a flat circle. Thursday night featuring Baltimore, Kansas City, heavyweight matchup, Titans going at it, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Lamar Jackson, and for those that don't know, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry in that offense, behind that line, a team he chose. Could they pick any 32 teams to play for? This is the team he took less money to go play for. He wants to win a championship. I am so excited about that matchup right there and that particular team-up of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. The only way they don't get first downs is if they turn the ball over. All either one of them, like, you could just, all right, Lamar, I'm just going to fall forward, and then you hand it off to Derrick Henry, and he just falls forward and there's a first down. Like, they don't have to do anything. It's incredible to watch. They got some nice receivers over there.
Mark Andrews, tight end, and Isaiah Likely, who's a great number two at tight end.
I like that kid.
Flowers, last year in one of my fantasy leagues, I had Andrews, and when he got hurt the same day that Musgrave got hurt, and I sat there and right away I picked up Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
And that's how I won one of my fantasy leagues.
Because
I was right on the spot with that. But that was one of the reasons why I didn't take Derrick Henry was how much is Lamar going to want to hand the ball off? Okay, he's not going to get hurt. He's not going to get hit. But that's still taking the focus away from him.
20 touchdowns. I'm putting it out there. 20 touchdowns for Derrick Henry this year.
Rushing, of course.
The 8 scheduled games for 1 o'clock slot on Sunday and 4 scheduled for the afternoon slot. Los Angeles and Detroit will play on Sunday Night Football. Opening week concludes with the Jets taking on the Niners on Monday Night Football. But who is calling these games? Well, it's going to be interesting because for Fox, who have a handful of these, of course, the network made perhaps the biggest acquisition of the offseason, even more than any NFL team, by having Tom Brady join the team.
Cheating Tom.
Kevin Burkhart will be joining him side by side. Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi will be on the sidelines.
It's kind of surprised to have Burkhart there, but
I thought so too. It was interesting.
I thought they had a better play-by-play guy than him.
I don't know if that's Tom's call, because I feel like he's making these calls, but I always feel like Tom Brady's making these calls, so I don't know.
Nope.
I'm interested not only in that, but in the way that the NFL is literally breaking their back to try to make this work, with Tom Brady owning a part of the Raiders, possibly, and all of this.
And the
weirdness of all of that. You also don't know if this guy is going to come back or not. Like, I don't care if it's 3-4 years from now, I'm still going to be wondering, Tom Brady Brady going to come back? Like a starting quarterback just went down. Is Brady coming in?
They said the same thing about Brett Favre.
Yes, yes, and rightfully so. I think Brett wanted to. Joe Davis is doing play-by-play. Greg Olson will be with him. Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma will be teaming up. Adam Admin and Mark Sanchez will be calling games. So this is the rundown for the play-by-play callers for Fox. I feel like nobody got shafted more than Greg Olson in this situation,
yep.
But you don't hear him complaining about it, so I'm not going to. If he's not going to take it hard, I'm not going to. I respect the way he's handled this. Kill him with kindness, man. And I think Greg Olson's going to go on to do great things. I think he's going to be okay. My favorite announcer outside of you and Randy, and I do mean that, Michael. I mean that, brother. I mean that. I can't fake that stuff. I love Kevin Burkhardt. I'm a big, big fan of his. He's my favorite guy to listen to, and I really feel like he deserved an opportunity among other names that should have been up there. So as much as I like Greg Olson, I feel like even before I was saying that Burkhardt deserved Olson's job, or not Olson's job, but in that slot he should have been. Maybe him and Olson would have been a great team. I don't know, but that should be interesting. CBS, of course, has a handful of these games. The trio of Nance, Romo, going to be going, and Tracy Wolfenstein for 8 seasons together. It's 8 seasons already. It's been for 20 years. That's crazy. They're going to be calling games together. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green will be working together on CBS. They're going to be their number 2 or number 3 team.
Harlan, I think, is better than people give him credit for. But
I think Kevin Harlan's the best. To me, he's the best. I love any game that I'll listen to a game because Kevin Harlan is calling it.
Kind of like Ian Eagle.
Yeah, yeah. There's certain guys that I just enjoy, and he's one of those ones. They got, of course, Amazon. This threw me for a second. Amazon Prime. Oh, yeah, that's right. They have games. They have Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit calling games, nonetheless, on Thursday Night Football.
Al Michaels and Herbstreit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, all right, yeah, because Monday night, I got my announcers confused. I'm with the Monday night football team.
Right. For the Thursday night team, it'll be Herbstreit and Michaels. I love Al Michaels. I think Al Michaels is the greatest announcer of all time as far as all multiple sports.
Yes.
Certain sports, Vin Scully's the GOAT. There's certain sport. I think that if you wanted to say John Madden was the main announcer in football history, I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Yeah, I don't think you can win that fight.
No. So there's certain sports individually, but as far as doing anything, he can call anything.
Yes.
Al Michaels is the GOAT to me. I just like that he's still doing it. I don't know. I also kind of like the fact that he's literally playing with house money and he don't really care.
someday maybe that'll be me and Randy doing that.
I'd like that.
Pretty cool, but
NBC returns with the trio of Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, and Melissa Stark for their third season together.
Now Chris Collinsworth, see, he's a guy who just talks and talks and talks, and sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't, and I just use his own words against him. See, he's a guy. This is a guy.
Yep, that's him. That is so Collinsworth.
I was hoping you caught on to that.
I didn't know that you did impressions too. This is going to be a great tag team, man. We're going to have a lot of fun together. This is awesome. ESPN announced in May the trio of Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Lisa Salters will return for their third season together for Monday Night Football. The upcoming season will be Buck and Aikman's 23rd season together. It's incredible to think of that. Doesn't seem like they've been doing it that long. What a lot of people are excited about is not only, of course, the Peyton, the Manning cast, where Monday Night Football has Peyton and Eli kind of covering the game as well at the same time, but they will be having Bill Belichick on with them this year.
Ooh.
As Belichick signed, they keep looking at Tom Brady and his signing. I disagree with that. I think the biggest free agent signing outside of football, as far as players go, is the Mannings signing him and ESPN bringing in Bill Belichick. It looks like a good thing with Nick Saban so far. That looks like it's working out. I think Belichick, it's going to be fun to see these coaches. These guys know what real pressure is.
Right. And it's going to be interesting to see them, to see if they have, either one of them, have a sense of humor. I think Saban does. I'm not sure I'm Belichick yet.
It's funny because I always heard that Belichick had a great sense of humor, but we didn't get to see it, see now.
I think we have in some of those early season press conferences, and I think it's just extremely dry. Which, deadpan, that it's very hard to pick up.
I'm all right with that. That's my kind of comedy. I like it. Dark and deadpan. I'm good with both.
Yeah.
That should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very curious to see how they develop, how they are at these jobs. Let's take one call before we go. We got a couple minutes left. You're on the show.
Hey, just a quick question about Cheerio stat before you go.
Mm.
I heard that he might be the first player to be in the 2020 club by the age of 20. Have you heard anything about that?
I heard a little about that.
Me too.
I heard a little about that. That is pretty cool. That is pretty unique.
Another question about programming. I heard previously this afternoon that there was a program on Civic Media that runs from 4 to 6 they're starting. That's not going to conflict with the...
No, not that I'm aware of. No, we'll still be here. But we will still be here as far as I know.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the question, man. Thank you. It gives us a chance to clarify that. But yeah, local programming like ours, stations like ours, over the whole umbrella of Civic Media, those show, that Dom's show will be playing. We're excited about that. But for us here in the local market at WFHR 97.5 1320, we will be doing what we've been doing as far as I know. We'll see. But, you know, we're going to keep doing it. We can keep doing it when we get calls and things like this. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. We got wrapping up the show here in just another minute. I did want to remind everybody of our schedule coming up. Not only are we your tailgate, your pregame for Luke Fickell's show at 7:05 right here at WFHR. That's coming up in just a little bit tonight. But on Friday, we'll have another Playmakers for you, and we will lead you, get you ready over on WIRI 105.5 for Assumption Football, hosting Bocelli, Randy, Michael, Seth, going to be covering this one. You looking forward to it, Mike?
Yeah, and I'll be calling in. I'll just give you the heads up. I'll be calling in from Port Edwards as they have their first home game against Wild Rose, and that'll be see if Port can come out on the winning side of that this year after a game that was decided on the last play of the game last year and didn't go their way. So I'll give you hopefully a halftime update, and then I'll be with Randy for the big one of the night at Southwood County Field.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season of high school football and college football, as Saturday, 12:30, we'll have Wisconsin football hosting South Dakota. The pregame will kick off early for that one. That means no over-the-back fence this Saturday. Keep that in mind. Looking forward to talking more football throughout the week, and we'll, of course, get into some Brewer talk as well, and baseball, and plenty more. Michael, have a great night, man. Thanks for the show.
You too, buddy.
You guys have a great night out there. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.